Hey, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Even those of us who aren't mothers, you know what? We had a mother. Think about that. That's deep thoughts there, Steve. So really, want to say we love you to moms. And, you know, motherhood's hard. And sometimes some mothers, they struggled. And some of us were in situations where maybe it's hard to be thankful all the time. But we are. We're thankful for our mothers, for what they've done, and for who they are in our lives. And we also, sometimes, we just have the great privilege of being sons and daughters. And it's partly up to us as sons and daughters, too. Some of you mothers, you know, you've learned as you became a mother and as you have been a mother that, wow, sometimes as a child, you might have done it different, right? You learn some things by being a mother. And I just want us all to take a moment, just for a second, think of your mom and think of not how maybe great she was for you, even though she may have been great, but what does your mom need today? Just think about that. And some of us have lost our moms. And yet, even in that saying, we've lost our mom, really? Maybe they've just transitioned and they're preparing a place for us as well. So think for a moment just about what does your mom need? And then when I signal, we're going to all say, thank you, Mom. But first, just think for a moment, what does your mom need today? This is a prayer in a sense. And now together we say, thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
There you go. Thank you very much. We're in a beginning, actually we're in the end of a series called In the Beginning. And this is, Mike, I'm letting you know now, this is the last sermon in this series, the last official sermon. So we might have to change the, you know, beginning here. And what we're going to talk about today is the idea that it's our story. These are a bunch of stories, the Torah itself, but especially Genesis, a bunch of stories that have a purpose, and the stories are for the purpose of teach us how to live. And so sometimes there's lists in the Torah, list of rules, but usually what comes before the list of rules is a story, and then after that is another story. And they help us understand how to put these rules into practice, and so they're not just stories about old people who lived a long, long time ago. It's our story. And so each one of these stories has something for us, and we need to see ourselves in those stories. And this sometimes is difficult because we struggle with remembering, and so do the people in the Bible. We struggle with remembering. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, remembering. And one phrase I hear a lot from my dad especially, is this verse, semi-verse. I call it a semi-verse. A semi-verse is something that you has its origin in the Bible, but you may have adjusted it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all with me on that? The semi-verse. And it's in Exodus 1. And you know, Joseph, our last story was about Joseph and talking about all the great things that God did through Joseph. And then the next thing you know, we're in Exodus, and 400 years have gone by, and now the people are slaves. And one of the verses it says in chapter 1, it says, there arose in Egypt a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And the idea is, man, when you forget about your past, when you forget who you are from your past, sometimes that can cause lots of problems. And it did for the Israelites, God's people. And so we're going to talk today, though, about remembering, even though sometimes there's some things we need to forget or reframe, I would say. But we're going to talk about the idea of remembering. And first of all, we got this. I'm going to give you just a 1, 2, 3. The book of Genesis goes this way. First, there's creation, and it was so good. And then there's rebellion, and it is so bad. And then there's God's plan. There's God's plan to bless all of us, bring us back home and bless us. And so that's the 1, 2, 3 of Genesis, and now we can go eat Mother's Day lunch. But actually, we're not talking about Genesis. We're talking about remembering stuff. And so here's the thing. The way it was with God, it was in the beginning, there's the fall, but then from Abraham all the way to Joseph, story after story after story is about God using people to rescue other people or to bless other people. And this is what he's doing with us as well. He's using us to bless and rescue. And so this is what's going on in Genesis chapter 12. God's calling Abraham and he says, because of you, this isn't just about you, bro. You're going to bless all the nations through you. And story after story. And then Genesis ends with Joseph in chapter 50. He says, so many lives were saved because of you. And this is the story, and this is our story. God wants to do something for others through us. You with me? Everybody kind of say, oh, okay, that kind of makes a little bit of sense, you know? God is using people to rescue people. He's using people to bless people. And I'm blessed today just by people showing up. I wasn't sure that, you know, Michelle was still alive. Actually, I knew I would have heard if something had happened. Or Steve, you know, what's going on in France? Can they exist without you? But just glad to see you people here. You bless me. But there's more. We got a problem. And our problem is, human beings are forgetful. We forget stuff. Every day I go to my mom and dad's house, I leave the house, and as I leave the house, I get to the front door, I walk out the front door, I turn around and go back into the house because I've forgotten my keys or cell phone or both, you know. I don't know if y'all have that problem, but I'm forgetful. And so one of the things God does is he instructs us to remember, and there's some helps about that we're going to get to in a minute, but just the command, the instruction itself, he wants us to remember. So I'm going to read, and it's all over the Bible, by the way. It's all over the Old Testament, the New Testament, these instructions to remember, to not forget, which, by the way, is another way to say remember, right? Don't forget that. Remember that. Psalm 78, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will teach you lessons from the past. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We won't hide them from our descendants. We'll teach them to the next generation. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders, the wonders he has done. This is what our ancestors need to know, the great things God has done. Has God done something in your life? Wait a minute. If you're a parent, has God done something in your life? Tell your kids. That's what the story. Okay, so he says. That's what he says. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children. And so the next generation would know the stories, even though their children yet to be unborn. Okay, some of you know that some of you are going to have some babies someday. They're not even born yet, and you're going to tell them stories that your parents maybe have told you. Because if you tell the stories, it says, they will put their trust in God. And they would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Tell your kids the stories. They'll remember them, that God is a great God. That's the point of telling the stories. Psalm 78. So there's three things I want to talk about today. And there's more than this, but there's three I want to talk about today. That the Torah teaches us to remember. There's these things you should remember. And first of all, you should remember God loves us. So you should remember what he has done and remember that he's still doing it. What God has done, God can do. Okay, I want to say that all together. What God has done, say that. God can do. God can do. God can do. So what has he done? What has God done? So I want you to think about this personally. And I've got a little list here that I'm going to ask you. How has God done this in your life? God saves. How has God saved you? Man, I can look back in my life and see so many ways God has plucked me out of trouble. Any of y'all ever been plucked out of trouble? Sometimes I was pretty deep into the trouble. God saves. God has taught. Has God taught you anything? Have you learned anything from God? God has comforted. Man, there's been some days where I was at the end of my rope and God showed up. And he showed up in lots of ways, sometimes through other people. God has done so much for us because he loves us. God has energized and inspired. Have you ever been inspired by God? I've watched some of you be inspired by God. It's a great thing to watch in another person when God inspires them. God has forgiven. Man, so many things I want to remember that God has done. God has forgiven. God loves. One of the things I'm going to get to in a minute, not only do we want to remember that God loves us and we want to remember what he's done for us, but we want to remember who we are. And one of the phrases that goes all through the Torah is the idea that he says, I want you to remember who you were. You were slaves, but God rescued you, and now you're not slaves. And so this is both an identity thing, and it's also a what has God done thing. You know what you used to be, but God has said, no, that's not you anymore. I'm making a new person out of you. So that's one. God loves us. We want to remember God loves us. Sometimes life gets going bad and we forget. Key thing in our life, God loves us. Second, we have a mission. We have a purpose. So we remember why we're here. Why did we show up? We'll talk about this even more next week, but the idea of we're on mission here. We didn't show up just because we want to enjoy the place. Thanks for the donuts. You know, I'm glad we have donuts here at church every Sunday. And the days we don't, well, there's never a days we don't. But if there were days we didn't, I wouldn't be as happy. But that's not why I came, right? I didn't come for the donuts. I came to worship. Why are we here on earth? Well, we're here on mission. We have a reason to be here. Some of that mission is the verse we already talked about from Genesis chapter 12. We're here to bless other people. That's one thing we're supposed to do. I love the way this puts it, because sometimes you think the Bible is just all, the Old Testament is all about the Jews, but no, it's not. I want to read Isaiah 49. In Isaiah 49, the beginning of it, he's talking about how God has come to rescue his people, and he's bringing his people back. They've been in exile, and he's bringing them back. And then he says, but wait, verse 6, it is too small of a thing for you to be my servant. It is too small of a thing for you to be my servant just to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. Like, I'm sending you to bring the people back, all of the Israelites, all the Jews, the northern kingdom, they're going to be brought back. The southern kingdom, they're going to be brought back. He said, but wait, that's too small. I want to also make you a light for the Gentiles so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Light it up. We're here for a purpose beyond just taking care of ourselves, just feeding ourselves. We're here on mission. We have a purpose, and the purpose is to love the world, to go out into the world, to tell the world about Jesus, to tell the world about the love of God. This is who we are. But it's our mission, too. So we want to remember, we're on mission. We're not just here for the donuts. Thank God for the donuts. But we're not just here for the donuts. So we're here to tell others about God's love, to show others God's love. This is why we're here. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, we're here on a mission. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're trying to bring peace into our world. We are his ambassadors of peace. We're on mission. Eat a donut on the way, but that's not why you came. You came so that you can show others how to live in peace. Because a lot of times you can't bring peace by preaching. You bring peace by living in peace. Huh? Okay? Well, there's more to that too. Okay, so number three, we're his children. We're created in his image, so we are to remember who we are. Remember who you are. This was the, I hated that phrase when my dad would say that to me when I was going out, you know, from about ninth grade on when I could go out on my own. And I would go and I'd be leaving to go wherever I was going. And dad would say, now, son, remember who you are. And I was saying, and inside, I was such an eye roller. You know, not outside. You don't eye roll my dad ever. But in inside, I was saying, I know who I am. I'm Bob. Dad was in the military, and we had an ID, military ID, and it's real important to have your military ID. No matter if you're a kid, you know, you got a dependent ID. And I would sometimes, like my keys and my phone, I would lose my ID. I wouldn't lose it. I would just misplace it and take a while finding it. So dad, because he had no idea what it was like to be a ninth grader, he made me put a hole in the end of my ID and then wear it around my neck. You know how many kids in my school wore their ID around their neck? One. Me. And I said, I know who I am. I don't need no ID. I don't need that. I know who I am. But really, do I? I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Because sometimes I don't feel like that. Sometimes my feelings tell me who I am. Sometimes the people around me tell me who I am. Sometimes my culture tells me who I am, but that's not who I am. And so who am I? Well, he says, I want you to remember you are my people. And my people look like me. In the New Testament, it says, my people, they look like Jesus. Do you know someone who looks like Jesus? I want you to think of a person who, when you think of them, you think, that person looks like Jesus. I want you to think of a person's name. And I got several candidates, but for sure, it's my mom, huh, Sal? It's mom. That's who you were thinking of? It's mom. We look like Jesus because we act like Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, we love each other. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, that thing and that list of things. We're that. That's who we are. That's who we are. We forgive each other. And like Jesus, we pray for our enemies because that's who we are. It's not just something we do. It's who we are. We do it because that's who we are. That's the kind of family we are. We have a family tradition. You know what it is? Kindness. We have a family tradition. It's generosity. This is our family tradition. We do this. We're generous because you know what? That's who we are. And God is saying, don't forget that. Don't forget who you are. So you get to the part of the sermon and I'm thinking, these are all good things, Bob. Good, good, good. But you know what? How do you do that? I mean, how do I do that? How do I not lose my keys? And I've been given lots of tips about that, kind of like the chain around my neck. One year, Casey, Sally's daughter, my niece, Casey, gave me a little thing where it finds your keys for you. But you can't, then I lose it. So, you know, what do? The thing that finds your keys, you've lost it, so it doesn't help me that much. But there's two tips, a couple of things I think that would help us remember who we are, help us remember what our purpose is, help us remember what God has done, okay? One is we're going to teach others, especially our family, we're going to teach others about that. Because when I teach something, I learn it a lot better. I don't know about you, but when I teach somebody else something, it sinks in a little bit more. It sinks in, as a matter of fact, a lot more. So, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, it's talking about this, and it says it this way. He just has said that you should love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he's just said. And then he said, I give you these commands today so you can impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up, and tie them as symbols, like Dr. Ray's been telling us. Tie them with symbols on your and write them on your hands and your foreheads, and write them on the door frames of your houses. Just be teaching these truths to everyone. Teach them to everybody, especially your family. I want my boys know, they know who I am. They know that I know what God's done for me. They know what I'm on mission, because I want to teach my kids this. But not just your family. So Jesus, the last thing he says in Matthew was, I want you to go out from here and teach all the nations what I've commanded. I want you to teach what I've told you. I want you to teach this. So one way you remember stuff is by teaching it to others. So be proactive about that. And you might think, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, yeah, you are. You're a human. And we all are teachers of somebody in some way. We teach. Sometimes we just teach by example. And that's maybe the best lesson we can teach, is teaching by example. You don't have to be in front of a crowd. You don't have to have an outline. You don't have to. You teach. Why? People sometimes are going to see you do something unusual, like forgive an enemy. And they're going to say, why did you do that? How could you do that? And then you begin to teach. Well, I did it because of who I am. I did it because I have a purpose here on earth. I did it because this is my identity. So I can teach, you know, by how you live. The other thing is by doing. So you teach, that helps you remember, but also when you do something, it helps you remember. There's instructions to follow. And sometimes I forget the instructions unless I'm following them. So there's instructions that are on the back of this package of chocolate chips, and I make chocolate chip cookies because I like chocolate chip cookies. And Mary Beth said, if you want chocolate chip cookies, make them. Okay, so I looked at the instructions, and I said, I can do that, and I saw that. But you know what? I don't even look at the instructions anymore, because I've made a bajillion chocolate chip cookies. Because I'm doing it. And if I'm doing it, I remember it. Now, I will say this. Mary Beth still will make them often. Because even on days that, you know, aren't special days, like Mother's Day, she'll make them. Even though I'm supposed to make them. I understand. Sorry. Went on a little trip there. Here's the thing. This is the same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount too. He says, anyone who hears my teachings, you'll be a wise person if you put them into practice. Well, there's one other thing I want to say about how we can remember, and that is by participating in what I'm calling today the memorials. Participate in the memorials. And we're headed to communion about this, but God has had different things set up to remind us, to help our memory all along. There were altars. Remember, we did this whole sermon on altars in Genesis. And he had people build altars so that they would remember certain things. They would remember events in their life. And always, almost always, it was about this. It was about, you know, what God has done, they'd build an altar. It was about what their purpose here is, they'd build an altar. Or they'd build their identity, they'd build an altar. And so they're building these altars. Well, then later, after Genesis, this first couple of 20 chapters or so in Exodus, they start doing this Passover thing, this Passover meal. So they have altars, then they have this Passover meal, and then they'll have feast days. And on these certain days, you remember certain things, and you set this whole day, or sometimes a week, or sometimes a month, and you're going to celebrate, and you're going to remember what God has done. You're going to remember what's your purpose. You're going to remember who you are. And this is what we do every Sunday. What we do is communion. And last week, when Joe did the communion thoughts, it was beautiful. He told his own story a little bit of where he came from. But then this idea of remembering. We're doing this, as Jesus said in Luke, we're doing this in remembrance of him. And he asks us to do this, not for his sake, right? But for our sake, because he knows we forget stuff. But I always wonder, why did he think what was getting ready to come next was going to be incredibly hard to remember? Oh, no, wrong. It would be incredibly hard to forget. They're getting ready to crucify who the person they'd been hanging out with, following as disciples for 3 years, and they're going to crucify him. And then he's going to raise from the dead, and still he says, do this to remember me. Because he knows our nature. We're forgetful. So I want to ask you today, as we go into communion, as we take communion, when you're taking communion, what do you remember? If we're doing this in remembrance of Jesus, what do you remember? And who do you remember? When you say Jesus, I remember Jesus, well, what do you mean by that? Who are you remembering? What are you remembering? What has Jesus done for you that you remember? Or what has Jesus done for you that you might have forgotten? The song that we're going to sing is going to, I think, help us focus some of these thoughts. And then I'll lead us in a prayer, and then we'll take communion. So if you don't have your communion stuff, you need to go ahead and get it. After the song, I'll come and lead a prayer, and then we'll take communion.